Listening to the Coffee Hour with Andy
and Sarah.
It is Thursday morning. We made it to Thursday.
We made it.
Almost to Friday, too. But it's a fun day. We get to talk with a fellow DCE in studio this morning.
Yeah, I'm a little outnumbered. I don't like that.
We're taking over the studio.
You would.
Directors of Christian Everything, we're taking over.
Oh, man. That was bad.
Did you bike or drive this morning?
I drove.
You drove. You must have something going on this evening, because it's not too cold this morning.
It's not.
So
no,
you must have
I actually woke up too late.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Hashtag adulting didn't work out this morning.
I did not swim this morning.
Oh, man.
I did something else this morning. Yeah. No, I did strength training this morning.
I'm so just a slacker,
out of the pool.
Then.
So it was a good morning.
I brought a bag of exercise clothes, though.
Good for you.
It's on my calendar. I hope.
What coffee did you bring this morning?
This morning actually is Sumatra.
What we talked about yesterday.
Yeah. Yesterday was Zambia. Today is Sumatra. We're trying our dark roasts because we do light roasts so often that my husband was like, we need to try dark roasts. So
do they have different levels of caffeine as well in terms of how they like affect you during the day?
I don't think so. I've read though that light and medium roasts have higher caffeine than dark roasts. I don't know.
Speaking of caffeine and giving you energy, one of the most energetic DCEs, directors of Christian education I know, Andrew Nelson, Chapel of the Cross, St. Peter's, Missouri, in studio with us this morning. Andrew, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
It's nice to have two DCEs named Andrew in the studio.
Absolutely.
Oh, man.
Poor Sarah.
That's so confusing.
Tell me about your work at Chapel of the Cross, a brief overview of what you do as director of Christian education at Chapel of the Cross, St. Peter's, Missouri.
Yeah, my title is Youth and Family Life Director, and so my primary focus is youth ministry, 6th grade through 12th grade, but with a family ministry focus, so trying to emphasize the intergenerational or the cross-generational, mm-hmm. Provide support, education for families, and kind of provide the emphasis that Chapel of the Cross is a family, and so trying to intermix our ministries so that we are together as a family as often as possible.
So what does that look like, together as a family? I gather that means not segregating people, but rather bringing them together in a number of ways.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the worship service is the most obvious way. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's not my sphere of influence, but I think that's the picture that we see. excuse me.
Sphere of influence. I like that phrase. I'm going to start using
Thank
that.
Thank you. So, you know, the
do
most
I owe you
practical,
royalty every time I use
please
it?
Do. Please do. I'll send you my address later. The most, you know, practical way is just this coming Sunday. We usually take a break every 6 to 8 weeks, and we have a cross-generational Bible study hour. And so we set up round tables in our gymnasium. We use music, drama, conversation, tent, cards on the tables, interactive, hands-on learning experiences where people of all ages are together in one room around the Word of God. And then leaving that with some practice and some experience in talking with different generations so that, you know, the baby boomer and the Gen X and the child maybe sit around a table together for an hour, and then the next week they know each other. They recognize each other. They can have conversations and worship. And then families have that kind of guided experience when they go home. Then maybe there's a little more comfort, you know, applying God's word kind of in their daily life.
And just thinking down the road to what that means for that young child who in the future, what skills, what abilities that gives him or her to interact with people of all ages down the road as
Absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I know I've only been doing it 10 years now, but seeing, you know, the siloed ministry aspect really emphasize or exaggerate that gap time between high school graduation and having a family, where I went to, you know, maybe I went to a kids' church, or then I went to a youth group, and then there was a college ministry, and now I'm 20-something, and I don't know where to go. I maybe don't feel like I'm able to go to the adult Bible class, or that I'm old enough to go to the adult Bible class, or I'm comfortable because my peer group isn't as emphasized. And so trying to break down those siloed barriers every day, every week, so that we can keep our members active and connected and
man,
part of the church.
That you were at the youth ministry symposium last week, and that's we're going to talk about that in the near future here in the coffee hour, but that's all what that was about. What the hole we've dug as American Christians, the hole we've dug and gotten ourselves into by silos and age segregation all the time, that when we get to that young adult age, we don't know where we fit in because we've had children's activities, youth activities, and maybe even college stuff. But then what? Mm-hmm. Do we ever grow into being adults? Well, good for you, and glad that to see that happening at Chapel of the Cross as a lifespan educator, Christian educator.
Absolutely.
There. What you and I have had some conversations off the air about keeping that saw sharp. What are you doing to keep that saw sharp? And I know one of the things you're doing is pursuing another degree. To help you with that, what prompted this this pursuit of a higher degree, a master's degree in theology? Right.
Yes, I think the easiest way to put it is just that it's been put into my brain that you've got to be a lifelong learner, and the way the world moves, the way the world changes, being in ministry and realizing setting a youth ministry calendar for one group, then a year comes along and you can't just repeat the same process because people are always evolving. People are always changing. And it's always been kind of a goal of mine to continue learning. And when I realized that just reading books on my own wasn't happening, or attending conferences for the sole purpose of being a better DCE worked only so well, the formal education just seemed like the next step. And I had a lot of encouragement from my teammates at Chapel, my senior pastor, my associate pastor, and some family to say, hey, if you want to keep doing it, let's do it. We'll support you. Go for it. Now's the time.
Have you learned anything that's caused you to approach your work as a DCE in a different manner?
Wow, that's a great question. I've learned a lot, and I think it's just made me more confident in what I'm doing, willing to address topics in the classroom or in ministry with more gusto. I guess there's some things theologically that oftentimes when you're in a congregation like I am with a PhD in Old Testament and two MDivs and, just a lot of knowledge.
Andy Not and I, intimidating at all, no.
Andy and I were just talking about the number of pastors that are members of our congregation that potentially will be experiencing my leadership. And so, it's given me some confidence to approach things that maybe I would have shied away from. It's not a practical ministry degree, but the theological knowledge that I've been getting has increased my confidence to approach topics and speak on them with more clarity, I think.
Good for you.
Yeah, it's been fun.
My wheels are turning as I thinking more about that and how have you seen, so far, have you seen that benefit those you serve? Are there any examples, whether it be from a teaching experience where you were teaching or leading, or maybe it's just a conversation that you were having with someone? Any examples from
I think
far?
Something that I realized fairly early lacked in my general education was just based on the program that I picked and the kind of track I was on was just this church history. There was a big gap of church history that I just didn't know. And so teaching in confirmation, specifically last spring, we were focusing on the Apostles' Creed. And it was pretty short after I had taken, you know, a survey of historical theology course and being able to speak with confidence on, you know, what was going on in Nicaea that this Nicene Creed came out of. And what are the problems? Why was it so important that we have this creed? What are these heresies that were out there, these false teachings that we're trying to get rid of by putting it down in ink? That this is what we believe. And so it's always kind of fun to talk to the kids about, you know, the names and the dates that don't really matter, but, you know, they kind of look at you like, how do you know that? You know, and so that's been a fun process to really dive into that.
What an example that sets for them as well. If it's important to you and they have a meaningful relationship with you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Then they may begin to adopt some of those things as well and see them as important as well. What, how has this pursuit of this degree, helped you stay motivated and how have you stayed motivated to continue your studies, you know, to stay on top of this program? Cause I know that it's in addition to the ways that you serve at Chapel of the Cross. So this, you know, affects family time and family life and things like that. I've seen some of your posts at crazy hours of, you know, staying up and studying getting online to meet or to follow up on a lesson, those types of things.
Absolutely.
How do you stay motivated through this?
Well, you know, I mean, everything takes a sacrifice. And so, just knowing that I've committed to it, that I have a lot of support from my staff, from my teammates, and from my wife at home has been great. And as they kind of experience the benefits of my learning, it allows me to kind of get that immediate feedback of, hey, this is worthwhile. And yeah, it may not be pleasant, but it'll be over soon. And in the meantime, we're all better for it.
Teaching your preschoolers the Council of Nicaea.
Yes, absolutely.
Andrew Nelson, Director of Christian Education, Chapel of the Cross, St. Peter's, Missouri. Thanks so much for sharing your story with us about how continuing education has helped you as a church worker.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Coming up in just a little bit, hospitality. Is that right, Sarah?
It is right.
I hope we can be hospitable.
I hope so too.
You're listening to the Coffee Hour on Worldwide KFUO.